A few verses from our Old Testament lesson. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. In the name of our Lord Jesus, amen. You may be seated. We're in Isaiah chapter 40 here. And if you go back one chapter to chapter 39, you will see a very powerful warning that Isaiah gave to the king of Israel, a warning about Israel's destruction coming from Babylon, a warning about Israel being literally carried away into captivity. And specifically, he talks about the temple and the things in the temple that were used for worship. And ever since then, for people who read the Bible, the name Babylon strikes a sense of dread. John picks it up in his Revelation, and he uses it to refer to the ultimate wickedness of humanity on this planet Earth. As I mentioned last Sunday in my sermon, Isaiah had prayed that the Lord would rend the heavens and come down, that by his very presence he would make these nations like Babylon tremble, and even the mountains to quake at his presence. God has promised a final judgment and a deliverance of his people from sinners gone wild. And Advent and Christmas are beautiful times of the year as we turn to these scriptures again that remind us that God has not forgotten this world. There is still forgiveness. There is still hope and love and salvation in God's word, in his eternal Son, Jesus. Now let's begin with this. The punishment of Israel was necessary, and our judgments and punishments for our sins are also a necessary part of this world and of our life. And yet, what we need to remember is that in all of these things, all judgments that God brings upon this world before the final judgment that we talked about at the ending of the season of Pentecost, all of them are accompanied with promises. Promises of forgiveness. Promises that where there is repentance, there is shelter, and there is hope, and there is salvation. But we sometimes should ask ourselves if we really understand what these judgments of God are all about. For example, does God judge people directly for certain sins? I once remember a Sunday school teacher who used to threaten her students, God's going to get you for that. And I had to walk in a little bit and kind of tamp that down a little bit. Maybe you've had somebody say that to you, or maybe you've even said it yourself. That could be a little bit of a misunderstanding and misuse of God's judgments. But does God actually punish people directly for their sins? Some people, oh, no, no, God would never do that. You better go back and look at your Bible and check it out, because God has actually done that a number of times. Let me provide for you a few examples of that. One that comes right away in the fourth chapter of Genesis is Abel. I mean, not even if we just want to skip by Adam and Eve, that